Caveman's here with a very special Caveman's Corner. Today I'm talking about something that affects me personally and someone I've spent a lot of time with. Gina was stricken with cancer and she's going through the recovery process right now. I have her with me. We're going to take a couple minutes to talk about what happened to you, what you went through, how sucky it was, what we still have to do. Gina needs to get a special treatment that's going to be out of state. She needs to go to get some photon treatment, which sounds like super fancy. She's going to explain a little bit better than I can. She's a real smart young lady. With all that being said, I'm going to turn it over to you, Gina. Hopefully you can set us straight. Why don't you just tell us exactly what happened?
It's a little complicated because I was just like working and I thought I just had allergies because I started a new job cleaning houses. So I thought I was maybe allergic to like something I was using or something. But then it was harder for me to breathe every day. It just got worse and worse. Then I eventually wasn't able to sleep at all at night. And then I went to the doctors and they thought it was my tonsil that's like swelled up. So they were just going to remove it. And I was like, okay, that's an easy process. I'm excited to just get fixed that fast. It turned out that it wasn't my tonsil. It was some sort of mass. They had no idea what it was. They just did a scope down my nose. Then eventually they did a biopsy to take pieces of it and test it, and they found out it was cancerous. I don't know what I'm supposed to do about explaining it.
Okay, I can tell that you're a little overcome with emotion. It's a lot to deal with. It's a very rare form of cancer, which is one of the reasons why you have to go out of state. Yeah. Can you explain why it's rare? And it's because of the location, not because of the cancer, correct?
Yeah, it was carcinoma X pleomorphic adenoma. Usually that is cheek glands. Mine is like behind my, like in my nasal cavity. So the location's like really not normal. I'm the only one that's documented in the world that has this tumor in that location, but it is like six other cases were similar to mine, but they still, like, I'm the only one with this, so it's kind of hard.
So you said it's blocking your airway, but the people listening to this probably don't understand how bad it was. I came over, Gina, we were eating dinner, and she couldn't eat. At some point, she couldn't even talk. Can you explain that and how hard it was for you to breathe and get through your day-to-day life while that was affecting you?
It was definitely hard because I was going to school, I was working. There, it felt like a huge lump in the back of my throat, but it was blocking my air, so I wasn't able to breathe out of my nose at all. So eating, I had to eat with my mouth open, which I hate doing, so that was really difficult. And I just got tired of eating because it was painful to swallow because there was something in the way. I'd constantly have, like, bloody noses from this. It was really difficult to sleep. I had to sleep on my, like, on the couch because my bed was just too flat. And it doesn't matter how many, like, pillows I had. I just couldn't get comfortable. So I'd probably get 2 hours of sleep. And that's about it. And be hard because I'd have to wake up at 7 for work to clean, like, to go clean the houses. And 7 to go to school. So I had, like, no sleep.
I'm a little emotional right now too, so I had to take a second and collect my thoughts. So you're suffering all the effects of the cancer. At what point did they locate the cancer? And then once they found out it was cancer, what was that like? I mean, were you 19 years old?
Yeah.
You found out you had cancer? That's got to be heart-wrenching.
So when I had a panic attack at school, so I just told my mom I need to go to the emergency room, so she took me. And I was there for a couple hours, and they said I should stay overnight. So I did, more comfortable because I had people, like, checking in on me. I don't know, it just felt better than being at home. One doctor, I'd never met her before. She just came in and said, this is probably cancer, and just left. And I was like, wow. I didn't think it was as serious since I thought it was allergies. I guess it wasn't. So Dr. Young is an ENT. He came and scoped down my nose and said, it's like, we have to work urgently right now. So then he recommended Dr. Burke, which he's my doctor now, and I really am grateful for him because he's the one that removed the tumor, and he's like the smartest person I've ever talked to. Oncologist, I couldn't even think of the word. The day I was diagnosed was September 26th, and I had my boyfriend, my mom, and my aunt come in the room with me. And they told me, and I just, like, right when he said it's cancerous. I started crying. Everyone else was just, I think, just in so much shock, they didn't even react. I looked around, I was like, oh my God, this is just not what I expected. So it really affected me. I had to drop out of school. I haven't worked since August, so it's kind of hard. And I was going to school for surgical technology, and that just put me back a whole year. So I'm just kind of upset about being out of school.
You were diagnosed with cancer, right? You ended up dropping out of school. You got to know treatment is not probably that good. How long was it from the time that you were diagnosed with cancer until they started to remove it?
They worked really quickly. They did a biopsy, and then the next week they did a tracheostomy, which they put a hole in my throat. And because my airway was obstructed, they said this is the best way for me to breathe. So that helped. That was the next week. And then the next week was a surgery. So they really worked within like the same month as I was diagnosed to remove it.
I was sitting here eating and I was watching. You had that band-aid over your trach and it was coming in and out as you were breathing. And I just watched you deal with all the stuff that you're dealing with. And you were talking about how you're going to drop out of school, but you're going to keep going and go back. And I was moved by how much this has really matured you. Can you just talk about like how awful it was to go through the surgery part so far? Why you need this proton treatment that's only offered out of state, and why you're having a hard time getting it?
The surgery was, I woke up and it was the worst pain I've ever been in my life. They went in through my mouth and then they went in through my neck. So they cut the side of my neck and like all the way across. I'm still swollen to this day, and I'm 5 weeks out of surgery. I stayed in the hospital for a week, and they had a feeding tube down my throat, down my nose, and it was just like the worst experience I've ever had to deal with. So it has matured me a lot. I feel a lot like really grown up. I'm on like pain pills, and they feel like nothing, because I'm still in a lot of pain from the surgery. That's a lot of questions. I forget. I have, like, no brain.
All right. The next one I asked was why you need the proton therapy and describe what it is and then why you can't get it.
Okay. The proton beam therapy is a more specific, accurate radiation that...
So, basically, you need to get the proton therapy instead of chemotherapy is pretty much what you're saying. And I wanted to cut you off right here. So, before you get too far into it, people be like, well, let's just go to Roswell and get chemo. Can you tell them why you need to get the proton therapy instead of chemo?
Since I'm 19, I'm very young, and chemotherapy would really destroy my whole body, and they are afraid of me either doing chemotherapy or regular radiation because they both can cause cancer themselves. So me being so young, it's going to affect me for the rest of my life. If I had chemotherapy, it would just destroy my muscles and my bones and everything. And I'm just so young, they didn't want that as an option. The proton beam therapy is going to exactly just get the tumor and nothing else around it, so it's less invasive, and it's going to get all the remnants of it they couldn't get for the surgery, since the tumor was, like, around my skull base. It wasn't, he couldn't get extra of anything because it was bone and my arteries and all that. So the proton beam therapy is going to get everything else. I don't know how to explain it.
If you're listening to this and you're interested in exactly what the protein beam therapy does, I'll take a picture of the sheet we have in front of us, and I'll add it into this podcast. I'll link it to everything. Also, there's only 27 facilities in the United States that have the specific proton beam, and Gina's going to have to travel to them because there's not one in New York State. This treatment is going to take 35 days at least. So that's 35 days she needs to be away from home. One of her parents are going to need to go with her, so they're going to have to miss work. 35 days that they're both going to be gone out of state. So we're looking to try and raise some money to help offset some of these costs. Three facilities have already rejected her, and we're still looking to try and get her into one. We're trying to make sure that place is making a decision to accept her solely based on curing a sick child. So this podcast is just to get the knowledge out there. So if you're listening to this, please share this podcast along any networks that you're on social media or anything else like that. And now I'm going to turn it back over to Gina. Why do you think it's so hard for you to get in there? And how are you going to deal with these 35 days of treatment?
The treatment, I'm not even sure how it's going to go because it's kind of like a trial because they're not really sure what's definitely going to cure me. So they're hoping that this would work. It's hard because I always had my mom talk for me.
Okay, let's take a second. Take a deep breath. In through your nose, out through your mouth. All right, we're not going to worry. I'm going to attach all the smart people stuff to this, so you don't got to worry about being smart right now. Yeah. Just put into your own words. What do you think this 35 days is going to be like? How's it going to affect you? I know you have a boyfriend who stood by your side through all of this. So if you want to throw him a nice shout-out, too, he'd probably like it since he's been a pretty good guy. In the age where people leave each other for burping or farting or anything else, it's a pretty amazing story that he stuck around you, too. So talk about your boyfriend. Talk about the couple of days, the 35 days that you're going to be gone. And what do you think treatment is going to be like? What have they told you?
They said it's definitely going to be 35 days. Well, 5 days a week. It's not going to be very long. It's going to probably be like an hour to set up and only like probably like 15 minutes of actual treatment. Cage your face into the table, which is very scary because I'm claustrophobic. So I'm a little nervous to do all that. When I was getting tested, I was doing MRIs, PET scans, and I was getting very claustrophobic. And they would give me medications to relax me, and they still didn't work. I'm not sure how I'm going to be able to get through that. The physical side of it, I'm sure it's going to be very exhausting. And because I know, like, radiation is, like, affects you. Like, since it's in my head and neck, it's going to, like, leave burns on my neck and stuff. And I'm pretty sure proton beam therapy is also going to do the same thing. My doctor did say there's less side effects of this treatment, Justin. My boyfriend's been by my side for 3.5 years now, and I'm just so grateful for him. Just be my best friend. I don't even know. I have such an amazing support from my family and friends. I just, I don't know why I'm getting upset. I never really, like, thought about it. And I'm so grateful for all this because I'm not a strong person to deal with this alone. I never thought about getting upset.
I think you're a very strong person. I don't think you should be, you should feel bad about being upset. I'm about to tear up myself. You're a pretty tough girl. For me to say that, I mean, it's true. I'm looking at your scars right now. You got the scar on your neck. You look like you got hung. You got a hole in your throat. I think you have a right to be upset. This is very frustrating because not only have I watched you deal with this, I've watched your mom try and get you into all these hospitals, and we're going to find a way to get you in. It's important you got to get in there quick before the tumor starts regrowing. So hopefully by the time the benefit happens, you'll already be out of state getting it done. But the reason that we're sitting down to do this podcast is on December 16th, we're going to coordinate a benefit to raise funds for you. A fundraiser is going to be located at the Lancaster VFW post at 3741 Walden Avenue, Lancaster, New York, 14086. The event's going to go from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's going to be a Chinese auction. We're going to raffle off baskets.
There's also going to be a Christmas bake sale, but I thought it was kind of nice for before the holiday. My boyfriend Justin's mom, Bonita Brown, is setting up this whole benefit, and I'm just so grateful for her to take her time out of her busy schedule to pick up the baskets, to schedule this entirety. It's just cool that she's really doing this for me. I mean, she's like my second mom since I've been in the family for 3.5 years.
So our whole goal is to keep this short anyways. Your story is a heartbreaking one, Gina, and everything you said has been pretty amazing. And I think when you hear it, you'll hear what an articulate young woman you are. I know you're a little bit flustered because it's the first time we ever did a podcast, but I think you did a really good job. Thank you for your time, Gina.
Thank you. I just want to thank everyone that just to even read my story on my GoFundMe or my Facebook page. Thank you for having me on here. It's just great to for everyone just to hear what the story from me and not just reading it, because it kind of puts more of my personality into it, even though I was very nervous. Because it just kind of puts my voice into my situation.
Did a great job on a podcast. What you're saying is kind of right. The whole goal for this podcast was people could see you as a person and not some person that's like, oh, I just need some money or a piece of paper asking for a donation. You're a real person and someone I consider a friend and family. If you know me and you listen to my podcast, you know how much I care about people that are close to me. And if you know me, you know I come take care of you. And I'm asking you to help me out and please help me take care of Gina. She's family to me and really, really important. If you can't make the fundraiser or you can't donate a basket, that's fine. She has a GoFundMe. I'll add the link to this too. If you can, please donate to the GoFundMe. Come to the benefit. Do whatever you can do. And I appreciate it. Thank you. Have a good night.